I'd like to say thank you to all the saints who have been helping, and thank you for sharing, to the saints from Youth Care, and thank you Saint Matt, and thank you to the Saint Bruce and the other musicians during the service. As we wait for Saint Rachel to take a seat. When the Bible talks about ordinary Christians, the Bible calls us saints. Christians were being called saints before they were called Christians. The word Christians only appears in Acts chapter 9. But in Acts 9, I'm going to fly across a few different places today. In Acts chapter 9, a believer called Ananias is told by God that to go to a man named Saul. And that man, Saul, he's been killing Christians. But Ananias doesn't say he's been killing Christians. He's not keen on going to Saul. He says, but, Lord, 9:13, he says, I've heard many reports about this man and all the evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. So what are the believers called? Called saints. And not just there, down in verse 32, Paul went to visit the saints in Lydia. Which doesn't mean that Paul went to visit just one or two special people whom the Pope had some big ceremony for after they died. In fact, the only canonized saint ever born in Lydia that I could find of was born there 200 years later. The saints in Lydda are the believers of Jesus Christ in Lydda. And this same Paul, whom Ananias was afraid of, he was transformed by Jesus. He was given a new name, a role as the great missionary apostle. And when he writes to the ordinary, run-of-the-mill Christians in different places, he writes, so in the letter to Rome, he writes to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. To the Christians in Ephesus, he wrote. To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. In Corinth, he wrote. To the church of God that's in Corinth. To those sanctified, made saints in Christ Jesus, and called to be saints. In Philippi, to the saints in Christ Jesus. Do you get the point? It's there, and I've only given you a few examples. We could go on forever on this. In some translations, it won't hit you as much. So in the Colossians one, that was read. Because sometimes the translators have it a bit differently. But in the original Greek, the letters are addressed to the hagios, to the holy people, or to the saints. Hagios means holy people or saints. So who are the saints in the town, in Philippi, in Colossae? They're the normal Christians, which it's the good news if you want to see a saint. See, so if you want to see a saint, you don't have to go on a big pilgrimage to Rome, or to Jerusalem, or to Spain. We have saints right here in Margaret River. We've been hearing from some of them this morning. See, the Bible says that if you are in Christ, you are a saint. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a holy person, a saint. I don't know how you feel about that. It's good to ask, but what does that actually mean? You might have a gut reaction if you're called a saint to say, oh, who me? Whoa, I'm no saint. Saints are holy people. And if you really knew about me, well, I don't know. So we've got things. Firstly, that saints, if saints are holy, and if God really knows all about me, then God must know I'm not a saint. I want to break that down bit by bit. First of all, are saints holy? Well, yes, saints are holy people. That's what the word means. Saints, holy people means people set apart for God. Sometimes Miriam and I buy a present for one of our kids for their birthday. And then we set it apart. There's a place in the walk-in robe where we put it. Because it's set apart, separate from everything else in the house. It's not like all the other toys, because it's set apart, kept as holy for that child's birthday. But in the Bible, holy things aren't set apart for birthdays. They're set apart for God. They are especially clean. They're kept away from evil, because they belong to God in a special way. To be holy, to be a saint, means to be set apart for God. So yes, it does mean holy. And secondly, does God know about the bad things you've done? God calls it sin. We looked at this last week quite extensively. Our sin is, it's not just a breaking the rules. Our sin is rejecting God. It is personally offensive to God. He is painfully aware of it. And we can't get away from it. It's not just some bad people who do drugs in Augusta sort of thing. Our sin is inside us. If you could get on a plane, you can fly to the other side of the world, but it's almost like sin stowed away in your luggage. with you. It's going to be there when you get there. Except it's not in your luggage, it's in your heart. And then sometimes what we do when we realise we can't escape our sin is we try to rationalise. We say, oh, it wasn't that bad. You know, everybody does this or that. I know, I've got a tendency to do that. But God doesn't see it that way. God is honest. He's brutally honest about the reality. He sees that instead of getting away from sin, I have a tendency to want to get away from God. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, writing to the saints in Colossae, the ordinary Christians, they're people like you and me, he says, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behaviour. That's true of me. It's true of you. So, you know, yes, a saint is a holy person, and yes, God does see all the reasons why you're not holy. But that doesn't mean you can't be a saint. You can't get rid of your sin yourself. You can't escape it. You can't make yourself holy. But the great news is that Jesus can. Jesus has. When he gave his life on that cross, he took the full penalty for sin. When he rose from the dead, he showed he's defeated sin. He's overcome Satan. And he now offers us a new life that is no longer ruled by sin. A new life of saints. So, in Colossians 1 that I was reading from, verse 21, page 1165, if you want to flick across, you can just let me flick or you can follow with us if you like. It says there, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behaviour. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. You're brought back into the relationship with God. Reconciled by Christ's death on the cross. By Christ's physical body through death. To present you holy, hagios, as a saint in his sight. Without blemish. Free from accusation. And how do we receive this? We receive this if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. If you keep going in your faith, in this context, it's clearly faith in Jesus Christ, in his work for you. I actually showed a lot of faith last week. We took some of the youth to an indoor climbing wall. And as it got towards a couple of hours of climbing, I was tired. I couldn't have much faith in my own strength. I tried it a few times. I tried climbing up over some of the overhangs, and I tell you, I failed. There was no putting faith in what I could do. But it was okay, because I had faith in something else. I had faith in the rope. There you go. And the rope held me. I relied on the rope. That is what faith is. You cannot make yourself holy in your own strength. You can't drag yourself up to God. But we can have faith. We can trust Jesus to carry us. Rely on Jesus and his holiness. And the Bible says if we trust in Jesus, it's like we're wrapped up in his holiness. We're clothed in Christ's blamelessness. And it's an offer open to anybody who will accept it. So now, if you're in Christ, if you've accepted that offer, God looks at you. And instead of seeing all the problems, God sees you as a holy person. God looks at you and he sees a saint. If you've trusted Jesus and his death, if you've recognized Jesus' right to be in charge of your life, you are a saint. That is who you are. At the moment, we're in a series looking at identity, looking at who do you think you are. I mean, the first week we looked at people are special, or all people are special. The most troubled, broken kid the chaplains deal with, who we meet with, the most annoying person in your workplace, they are still special. Because every human is valuable. Because we bear the image of God himself. And that's good news. But last week we saw that every human is also something else. We're all sinful. We're all corrupt. We see it. Let's be honest. We deserve death from the God we've rejected. And that's the bad news. But today we have the best news. Jesus Christ offers you a new identity. A new life. if you are in Christ, you are a saint, a holy person. See, you are a saint. So know who you are. You are a saint. So be who you are. And you're a saint, a holy one, so treasure the holy ones. Know who you are. What's at the centre of your identity? What do you fall back on? Or how do you describe yourself? And I could say, I'm the local Baptist pastor. It's quite fun to say that, see the range of reactions. I could identify myself as my job. I could say, I'm Miriam's husband or David's father, Emily Rose's or Ben's. I can identify myself by my close relationships. We might identify ourselves by our lack of them. When I phone people in Perth, it's kind of fun to say, hi, it's Michael from Margaret River. You always get the... you can identify yourself by the where you're from. Sometimes I say, I'm the Auskick coordinator. Or, I'm a bushwalker and a body surfer. Identifying myself by my hobbies, by my lifestyle. Facebook, big in identity for many people, identifies me by my job, my education, my hometown, my relationship status, and of course, that little square thing, the profile picture. Because the visual image, the image, how we see ourselves is so crucial for identity so much of the time these days. That's all part of it. But none of these things is at the core of who I am. See, if you are in Christ, you have an identity far greater than any of these things. An identity that can't be ripped away. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. You've been adopted as the child of the living God. You are a holy person. As it says in Galatians 3 verse 23, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, and neither pastor nor surfer nor farmer. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are saints in Christ Jesus. Know who you are when you feel like a failure. You know those days when you feel ashamed to show your face? You're not defined by that failure. Not defined by what other people say. Turn to Jesus. Remember who you are. You are clean. You're forgiven. You are holy. You belong in heaven with God because you are a saint in Christ Jesus. When you're tempted to run somewhere else for affirmation, you feel like you're a nobody if you don't have that boyfriend, that girlfriend. Or you feel like you don't matter unless you make it in your career, in your business. Or maybe you feel you'd die if you couldn't surf or play footy anymore. You need to remember who you are. You're a saint in Christ Jesus. Just going back a few pages to Ephesians. When Paul prays for the saints in Ephesus, these are people who've got a hostile environment around them. They've got all sorts of weird spiritual stuff happening, all sorts of dramas, questioning who they are, what their identity is. And Paul, as he prays for them, first of all, gives thanks from verse 15 of chapter 1. Ever since he's heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus, about their love for the saints, he keeps giving thanks for them. So what does he ask for them? Remember, this is what he's asking for people who are actually trusting in Jesus already. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I also pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that what? In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus, you are a saint, a holy person, which means you have an inheritance as part of God's holy people in his holy place. You have secure riches in God's glorious new creation. You have a new identity. That's a lot to celebrate. If you're trusting Jesus Christ, then you can confidently declare, I am a saint. Actually, I want us all to do that now. If you're not relying on Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that's great to have you here. It's fantastic you can be here, but just don't say anything now because I don't want you to lie as we say, I'm a saint. But if you're in Christ, I want you to say after me, I am a saint. Ready? I am a saint. Praise the Lord. Know who you are. And secondly, be who you are. At the start of 1 Corinthians, we're told that the church of God in Corinth is those sanctified in Christ Jesus, those made holy, made into saints in Christ Jesus. And those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. They are saints in Christ Jesus, and they're called to be the saints that Christ has made them. And we, as the Church of God and Margaret River, are those sanctified in Christ Jesus. We're already saints. And now we're called to be the saints we are. We're not struggling to earn enough credit points so we can finally scrape in to our status as saints. Just make our way around to the bottom edge of the ranks of God's holy people. No, Jesus has already passed us with flying colours. We are saints. We are the holy people. So now we're on the team. We're called to live like we belong there. And this is such a key idea right through the New Testament, right through the whole Bible. Back in Exodus, which we looked at earlier this year, God saved Israel out of Egypt and made them his holy people. And then he called them, he taught them then how to live as a people. And throughout Jesus' teaching, throughout Paul's teaching, followers of Jesus are called to be who you are. Back in Colossians again as one example, Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, you're already God's people in Christ. You're already holy in Christ. You're saints. God loves you dearly now because he sees you through Christ's perfection. So now, be what you are. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I can't go past some of these words in here. Compassion, kindness, without a comment on the budget. Because it seems these days we hear this thing saying that we can't afford to show compassion. We can't do that anymore. We're too pushed. You know, my family might end up thousands of dollars worse off after budget. We'll make adjustments. It's okay. But we must have compassion on those who cannot make adjustments. What shames me most about the whole budget is the whole thing that the biggest area of cuts is to our overseas aid. To those in the world who cannot make the adjustments, the poorest of the poor. And it offends me because, wake up people, open your eyes. Have you seen what the rest of the world goes through? We are not poor. Australia can afford to show compassion. Both sides of politics are agreeing, maybe we can't anymore. But I'm not actually mostly concerned with what they think. I'm concerned with us, as God's people. So how much more than them, with whatever they've got, can we afford to show compassion? We are dearly loved by God. We have an inheritance far greater than any billionaire's child, eternally secure with Christ. We are saints. We are God's holy family. We've been given so much, so surely we can give to others. I don't just mean financially, I mean with time, I mean with emotional energy. We are saints. We are holy people. Let's be compassionate. Let's be who we are. Which it's not always easy. I don't know how you find it, if your neighbour gossips about you or your friend. Or when your child says the words that rip your guts out. And you know God calls you to forgive them, to turn the other cheek, to keep loving them. But they've attacked who you are as a person. How can you act a saint when you're being told that you're somebody else, that you're told you're worthless? You need to remember who you are. You're not worthless or a failure. In Christ, because of his work, you are a saint. You're forgiven. You are washed clean. You are made holy. That is the reality. Ask God's Spirit to remind you who you are. Look at His Word. You are a saint. And then be who you are. I'm not saying the old self will completely disappear in this life. Martin Luther used to say, "Where simul justus et peccator" in the Latin, forgive my pathetic Latin. But at the same time, we are justified and saint and sinners. Justified sinners. In this old life, the rags of the old sinner will still be there. Even as we're clothed in the beautiful robes of Christ's righteousness. It says in the beginning of Colossians chapter 3, it's expressed this way. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's what's already happened. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. You have a new life as a saint, as one of God's people. The old self is dead. So put to death what belongs to it. Christ died. He gave His life, His blood, to get rid of the filth. So how could I want to go back to what's gone? As it says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put them to death and put on the new life, the one we've been given in Christ as His saints. As God's chosen people, down in verse 12, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in the new. Be the saint you are in Christ. Be the saint you already are. Well, actually, that statement, be the saint you are in Christ, it misses a really important dimension of what it means to be for us to be saints. It wouldn't make sense to the New Testament writers, particularly if we, the way we often read it. I mean, too often we can have this picture of a Christian man struggling by himself to remember he's a saint. And the main front in this battle is when he sits alone by himself with his Bible and at prayer. Or you could picture from what I've been saying so far, really, a Christian woman working by herself to shut out the messages that keep bombarding her from the world and to live on her own as a saint that God has made her. The Bible never talks about saints, about being a Christian saint in that way. There may be some things we're called to be on our own, but there are no solo saints in the New Testament. In the New Testament, most of the time it says the word you, it's yous, you all. And every time it says the word saint, it never says the word saint except for one time. It always says saints, plural. And the one time it does say saint singular, it is greet every saint. Because the saints are together. The saints meet. God's holy people are called to love the other holy ones, to live together. The saints are together, they meet, they rejoice in what God is doing in His saints. They remind each other that they are saints. They help each other live as Christ's saints. We're members of God's household together. So we mustn't just say, I am a saint. We need to say, we are saints. And I'm going to make you do that again now if you're happy to. Can you say that together? We are saints. Ready? We are saints. And they're realistic about what that means. You might find it difficult to think about that for some of the people sitting around you. But if you look at Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 there, this is actually addressed for the way Christians relate to each other. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. Doesn't sound like it's always easy, does it? Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances. Do you notice there's an assumption there? There will be grievances. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. It's great that we get to practice reflecting God's love and God's grace here in the community of God's people. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not just in one person, but in you, plural that is, in you richly, as yous teach and admonish one another. Do you notice that? It's assumed that there's enough depth in the relationships. The relationships are there that people can actually be teaching and admonishing one another. We trust each other enough to be able to correct each other. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There are circumstances when it's not possible to meet with the saints. There are missionaries in really isolated places. But if we're in Christ, then God's Holy Spirit grows in us a love for God's holy people. Helps us to see them as God's holy people, as he sees them. You know, when I go to pastors' conferences or things for, which are also for chaplains in the Baptist homes nowadays, we're always reminded to actually, we need to be there, being vulnerable, being in relationships where to correct each other. It's not just for all of us. This is a temptation in our individualistic society to isolate ourselves. We kick against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who, it says in 1 Corinthians, when the Holy Spirit gives gifts, he gives them for a reason. To build up God's holy people. It's not just for you, it's for each other. God's holy people recognize God's holy work in others too. I was inspired when Warwick and Fiona came to town. I didn't just choose them because I knew they were visiting their father-in-law as he starts at a stepfather. As he starts in a church today, but when Warwick and Fiona came to church town, they just spent many years in a really difficult ministry in the Kimberley, and they'd been really burnt by the church. It's good to talk to them more about that sometimes. And it would have been easy for them as they moved to Margaret River to recover, to say, hey, we're burnt out from serving God so much. We need a break from fellowship. But they didn't. Warwick and Fiona joined with the saints in the church, and I'm sure there was quite a lot about the saints that bugged them. Actually, I ran this past Warwick on the phone and talked to him and said, yeah, I'm sure there was lots of things that bugged you, and he just sort of quietly agreed. And then I said, I bet there were lots of things about me that really bugged you. And he also quietly and politely agreed. But I also know when I talked to Warwick and Fiona, they said, but it's only normal. Of course we want to meet with God's people. And he was keen that actually I say that to you, encourage everybody to do that. He said maybe some of the saints will get it more. It is normal. God's Spirit wants us to grow in love for his people. But the saints who you meet with, they're all still learning and being changed by God to live as the saints that Jesus has made them. It's just you're struggling to live as the saints Jesus has made you. The Spirit is helping all of us to learn still to be who we are. Remember, you are God's saints, his holy people. Which means you're called to love his holy ones. To love each other. Love the saints. So be who you are. In Christ, we are saints. Together. We are saints.